has never before sent a gift by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Jasper. William's a senior editor of the New American Magazine. And I've known Bill for, well, better part of 30 years. How are you doing tonight, Bill?
Doing great, Stan. Great to be back with you.
Well, it's great to have you. And what are we going to talk about tonight? I know you're always working on news stories, so what are we going to talk about?
Oh, well, it doesn't seem to be much happening in the news, huh? there are quite a few things, and some of the things I've been writing about lately concern matters we've been talking about for years, but which are now becoming much more current and visible and mentioned by people who previously wouldn't even talk about them, and things like globalism and global governance and world government. The G20 summit, which we had last month, was in the news for a few days, and then all of a sudden it's like it doesn't exist anymore, but yet the plans that they laid there and whatnot are going to greatly affect us, and that is with the whole new global economic architecture that is being developed and built. Today I just did an article online at the New American relaying the Law of the Sea treaty, which we've been writing about quite a bit. But yesterday the Council on Foreign Relations came out with a press release urging the Senate to move on the Law of the Sea and pointing out that the current Somali pirate upswing is good reason to for the United States to ratify the Law of the Sea Treaty. Of course, I've predicted that a couple of weeks prior in an article online saying that that's exactly what they were going to do and why that's a bad idea. So there's a lot of things like that that we could talk about tonight.
All right, fine. One question I think it really should. I think intelligent people, seeing here that ships actually being hijacked by Somali pirates, might say, well, why don't we simply arm the crews on board? I mean, that would be the logical thing to do. I mean, they see these ships shadowing them. They know that they're going to try to board. Why don't we have any weapons on board? And, oh, we couldn't do that. Oh, my goodness, no. We couldn't try to protect our ships, ships worth probably tens of millions of dollars and all those crewmen on board. Why, we couldn't give them weapons.
Sure,
somebody could get shot that way. I mean,
that's the same argument that social engineers and liberal left will tell you, oh, no, you don't have a gun in your home. It's more likely to cause you harm. Don't protect yourself.
Of course, I ran into that when we were trying to stop the AIDS epidemic. Oh, we couldn't use standard public health techniques. We couldn't try to identify why this disease and is spreading it. No, we're going to treat everybody as if they were infected, and that way we won't have to worry about it. And you see this legacy.
Right, and so we won't use any common sense measures. We will instead build a whole new global regime and subject ourselves to a global policeman. And that's what's being proposed now for the solution to piracy.
And, of course, what the Law of the Sea Treaty is, it's really simply one more step along the road to a world government, but, of course, it's going to give the world government the control of over almost 70% of the face of the earth. That's the ocean. And they'll control the oil, they control the minerals, they control the transit of ships. The most massive effort to expand the power of this centralized authority. But this is what it's all about. A new world order, a new world financial system, a new world currency, and a new world religion. It's coming, and it's coming very rapidly. We'll be right back. Well, Bill, you go right ahead.
What's that?
You go right ahead.
Okay, we're back on?
We are back on.
Okay, well, great. Hey, one of the things that you mentioned here in passing was that this would give the Law of the Sea Treaty, UN Law of the Sea, would give the UN control over 70% of the earth, all the seas. But actually, it goes much further than that. It includes not only all of the oceans and everything under the oceans and everything on the oceans. That means all boats and rafts and surfers and everything. And all of the fish in the sea and all other life in the sea, but the airspace over the seas, and not only the international waters, but even the waters that that are claimed as sovereign territory along the coastal areas, and not only that, but all waters, streams and rivers, emptying into the seas, because you see they may be bringing pollutants down from farms and factories, etc., into the oceans and affecting the oceans as far as global warming and as far as pollutants coming to the oceans. So really, virtually the entire planet is given over to the Department of the Oceans of the Law of the Sea, DOLAS. And that's the United Nations agency which will have authority to run and to have jurisdiction under the Law of the Sea Treaty. So this is really the most revolutionary arrangement that's come out of the United Nations since. And there have been many, as you know, from the global warming treaties to all of the other environmental treaties and the proposals for global governance in the financial realm, etc. But the Law of the Sea Treaty is really a big one, and it's being pushed forward now. As I said yesterday, that was released by the Council on Foreign Relations.
And of course, that's what you'd expect from the Council on Foreign Relations, because it is dedicated to the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation and bringing about this world government. And of course, the thing about the lost treaty, that's the Law of the Sea Treaty, the thing about the lost treaty is it's going to allow the United Nations to have fantastic amounts of money. They have the ability to collect taxes on people, you know, going through their oceans and mining on their ocean floors and taking their oil out of the ground?
Well, that's one of the really dangerous...
Hold that thought right there, yeah. Bill. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were simply talking about the implications of the Law of the Sea Treaty. Bill Jasper was mentioning, of course, that certainly the United Nations then will be able to control not only the ocean floor and all of the oceans and all of the air above the oceans, but then all of the streams that are emptying into the oceans from all over the world. After all, there might be contaminants coming in those streams, so the United Nations will control every stream and every creek and everything in the entire world accordingly. And then, of course, there'll be massive amounts of money that they'll have in the way of getting compensation for using their oil and their minerals and certainly drinking their water. The implications of this, this is one of the cornerstones of establishing this world tyranny that our leaders are so intent upon with the destruction of the sovereignty of the United States. And where is the outcry from the media? What about 60 Minutes and 2020 and all these so-called watchdogs of our society? Well, they're going right along with it. They're not going to try to shake up the American people, let them know what lies ahead.
We have to have our hundredth story on Paris Hilton or whoever the bimbo of the week is.
Don't forget Britney Spears now.
I don't even want to try to keep up with all of them, you know, or what's the latest on American Idol, or what is the latest on the pop sensation or the celebrity breakup of the week. So, you know, while we keep focused on that, and many of the radio talk show, even supposedly conservative talk show hosts are not much better. They focus simply on bashing Democrats, promoting Republicans, and for instance, if we look at the Law of the Sea Treaty, we see almost no difference between the Bush administration and the Obama administration. George Bush pushed the Law of the Sea. He was the first one to break ranks really openly in the Republican Party, the Republican administration, to come out four square in favor of the Law of the Sea Treaty. The Bush administration was overly populated with Council on Foreign Relations members. And so Republicans notwithstanding, you know, Republicans have been the Republican Party at the top levels, very highly run by Council on Foreign Relations members, globalists, one-worlders, and the so-called Rockefeller Republicans. And so the Bush administration came out over and over again favoring the Law of the Sea Treaty and really pushing it and saying that this was going to be in our national interest. It will favor our national sovereignty. It will favor our national security. And, of course, nothing could be further from the truth. This is one of the biggest assaults on national sovereignty and independence in our Constitution ever. And so now the Obama administration has come in, and, of course, as a senator, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, who's now our Secretary of State, and Joe Biden, our vice president, all of them were very outspokenly in favor of the Law of the Sea while in the Senate. They are going to push this forward. The Obama administration is, like the Bush administration, very heavily larded with Council on Foreign Relations members. So we are seeing that now the Obama administration is pushing pushing the same thing, and we have in the State Department, the Obama State Department, full of Council on Foreign Relations members, so we're going to see this whole push for world government go ahead now with the scheduling of the ratification for Law of the Sea Treaty. So if people have not already contacted their senators, or if it's been a while since they've done so, they should be going online to our Law of the Sea Treaty articles on thenewamerican.com. And if you go there, the first story that opens up today on May 5th is on the Law of the Sea, and it gives the you can click on there, and it gives you the Senate information, so you can click on a link there and send a message to your senators. And this is what we need to do. We need to be flooding them on this, just like we have successfully on many issues in the past, whether it's amnesty for illegal aliens or the Dubai ports deals or gun control, a number of key issues, simply because the Senate switchboards, the House switchboards got completely overwhelmed with calls and with faxes and emails. Even very liberal left congressmen and senators, and even Republicans who were going to go along with the Bush administration on North American Union or other similar schemes, they got the message from the people, and not because of any principled position on their part, they were just frightened by the possible outcome. So they backed off of supporting that. We can cause that to happen here, and we must, with regard to the Law of the Sea Convention, or this UN monstrosity will be ratified, and we'll start seeing the very dangerous radical consequences of it.
Well, I certainly share your concern. I think when people, a lot of people have heard about the fact that the people from the census seem to be going around and marking doors. I don't know what they're doing, but apparently this is another part of your United Nations program, simply to begin to identify from the GPS system exactly where every home is. I don't know what they're doing, but we've heard this story over and over again from various people. So obviously everything is moving rapidly towards this world government. The individual doesn't understand that when you have a world government, you will have the same government that communist China has, and that communist Russia has, because Russia is still a communist society. The KGB have simply have changed their name. Now they call them the oligarchs, but they're still in positions of power. And our sovereignty, our constitution, our freedom as we know it will simply be a remembrance of things past. The average individual, I don't think, Bill, can really believe this could happen. And it's because they do not understand really the diabolical nature of what's going on.
Well, unfortunately, you're not going to get it from most of the major media, which is why you're on the air on Radio Liberty and why we're putting out the New American online and in our print editions and doing the outside the Beltway and outside the control of the major corporate media. The kinds of educational programs that we're doing. And we have to continue doing that and keep expanding and increasing our efforts in this regard, because what we talked about years ago and decades ago, and you and I both go back in this quite a few years, as being coming down the road sometime in the future is already upon us, and it's time for people to wake up. I mentioned early on when I started here tonight that when the G20 summit was just going on, surprise, surprise, the night before the London summit, Sean Hannity on Fox News had Dick Morris on, and we posted an embedded video from that on one of our blog items on thenewamerican.com. Dick Morris was telling Sean Hannity, well, tomorrow they're at this G20 summit in London. They're going to be pushing for a global monetary authority to control all the world's monetary system. Sean Hannity says, no, come on. He says, well, yeah, it's right there in the documents. And Sean Hannity says, oh, you mean those conspiracy people were right? And he says, yeah, they were right. You mean they really are, the United Nations really is going to push for a world government? And they went back and forth like that. And he says, yeah, they really are. This is really, really bad stuff. They stayed on that for about 2 minutes, and then that was it. And now, on one hand, we can say we're grateful that someone in the so-called mainstream media finally acknowledged what we've been saying for years and documenting and reporting on in great detail. But what is astounding here is that they could recognize this for a few moments and see the importance of it. And Dick Morris is quite amazing. He says, yeah, this is really incredible. It's going to control, you know, they want to have basically a World Federal Reserve Bank and a World FEC, or FEC. And if he and Sean Hannity really believed that this was as serious as they were making it out to be, well, that should have been an issue that they would have stuck with all night and hammer away on that and try to get people really informed about it, and then have hit it every day. Well, look, folks, if you don't, if we allow this to happen, this really means that these global leaders are going to be able to completely raid every bank account, every savings, every pension plan. You're going to be able to wipe out everything, create money out of thin air, create trillions and trillions of dollars. You're going to be able to completely destroy the dollar. You will have nothing left. And no one should have that kind of power. they simply reported it as kind of a very interesting and troubling fact that, this is happening, and, well, let's now move on to talking about how Michelle and Barack Obama had a faux pas with the Queen.
And don't forget about at all the new White House dog. I mean,
yes,
here's
yes,
a really important
more,
story.
More important things.
And then, of course, there's Michael Jackson. And of course, poor old Michael, you know, he's having all sorts of financial problems. Ladies and gentlemen, our minds are molded, our ideas suggested, our tastes formed largely by people we've never heard of. We'll be back in just a moment here with Bill Jasper, right here at the Radio Liberty Network. Well, Bill, we've been at this for a long time. I know I've been at it for 47 years. I think you're a little younger than I am, but I know you've been at it for...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Dealing with piracy, what was that going to deal
with? Well, for instance, under the Law of the Sea Treaty, one of the solutions that Congressman Ron Paul has proposed, which is really a very practical and commonsensical and American approach to dealing with the pirates, is Congressman Ron Paul of Texas has said, look, one of the solutions offered under our Constitution is for Congress to grant letters of marque and reprisal to private citizens, that is, privateers. We can't afford to send, we're the greatest naval power in the world, but even we can't, we're already bankrupt many times over, we can't afford to send naval ships all over the world to chase around little skiffs with four or five guys in them who are harassing, attacking, and taking captive all of these ships that are off the coast of Somalia in the Gulf of Aden and the Indian Ocean. We simply can't do that. We don't have the manpower and the ships for it. So what we need to do is grant letters of marque and reprisal, which is essentially saying, okay, we're going to put a bounty on pirates. And, you know, there's lots of special forces and naval and military personnel who would, as private citizens, as an enterprise, go out there and hunt down the pirates and bring them in for a bounty, just as we have bounty hunters that go out and do this now for criminals and terrorists. We put out rewards on terrorists after 9/11, and those were very helpful in capturing many of the terrorist leaders. You do the same thing with regard to pirates. That's not the total solution, but it would provide one important method of combating terrorism, or rather piracy. And under the Law of the Sea Treaty, we would be prohibited from doing what our Constitution authorizes us to do, because only state military authorities, that is, national military authorities, would be allowed to take pirates, take them captive. Also, it does not allow hot pursuit into territorial waters. So in areas like Somalia or other areas where pirates are operating, if they go into their territorial waters, go onto land, we cannot pursue them. So there are many other restrictions that are included, which I've gone through in articles which we have posted online about Law of the Sea, Lost, and the Somali pirates.
Wayne, it's very interesting, because the French wanted to go in. A lot of these Somali pirates were staying in the Ethiopian enclaves, which we had established. Actually, the radical Islamists had taken the southern part of Somalia, I'm sure you're well aware of it. And, of course, we didn't like them, so we brought the Ethiopians in to do away with the radical Islamists. But the radical Islamists had stopped the piracy, whereas the Ethiopian government that we brought in allowed the piracy. And in fact, the pirates very often will hide out in these Ethiopian enclaves. And the French wanted to go in, and actually the French government wanted to send Marines in after these pirates that had been attacking their ships, and we wouldn't let them.
Well, you see, when you say we should distinguish for the listeners who are not familiar, President George Bush, in 2006, since he decided against that it wasn't practical with everything going on in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere, 150 other countries where we have U.S. military bases and personnel, for us to go into Somalia. And besides, keeping in mind what happened when his father and Bill Clinton got us involved in Somalia the last time. Most people have forgotten that it was actually George Bush Sr. that first got us involved in Somalia right before leaving office. Then Bill Clinton took it over and, you know, made things worse, and we had Black Hawk Down. George Bush said, oh, well, we can't quite do that again. So we're going to have, we'll have our janissaries go in from Ethiopia. So we paid the Ethiopian government, which is, of course, corrupt and tyrannical, sent them, had them send in troops into Somalia, and they just made matters worse.
But the Islamists had stopped the piracy. That was the thing. Why would we put down the people and stop the piracy? And now we're worried about the piracy, and we want to pass a major treaty to remedy the piracy that we created by destroying the Islamist government, because they would not allow the piracy. So,
well, there's another part to this as well.
Well,
and
you're going to have to hold on and get to that in just a moment here, as soon as we get back. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Jasper right here at Radio Liberty.
Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains the prairie, through the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. And the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with
Bill, you go right ahead there.
Well, we were talking about Somalia and the situation there. And one of the, you know, just last week on April 30th, there was testimony in the United States Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And Captain Richard Phillips, the hero of the Maersk Alabama, the captain who was taken captive by the Somali pirates, and he gave, you know, he told them to leave my men here, take me, and they took him out on the boat, and he was finally rescued by the Navy SEAL marksman.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. And of course, this is Bill Jasper, and we're talking about the captain who was rescued from the pirates. And go right ahead with the story there.
He was testifying before the Senate, and he pointed out, he said, look, this isn't the whole answer, but I believe that our ships should be armed. At least the four main officers on a ship should be armed and trained, and that would be at least one thing that would help us with the security there. Then he said there should be other measures as well. There should be security measures taken by the ship companies. But I went through that in a recent article for the New American Magazine. But following him was Ambassador Stephen Mull, who it was quite a sharp contrast between his proposals for the Obama administration. And he said that the United States has to work through the United Nations and that we support the UN-led Djibouti peace process, which has brought about important progress on security for the Horn of Africa there. And he went on to say, this was Ambassador Stephen Mull, says that the United States remains strongly committed to supporting the Somali security sector and the African Union mission in Somalia. That's the known as AMISOM, you know, one of those UN acronyms where the African Union and the United Nations have sent troops into Somalia. So that's the Obama administration's program, which was the same as the Bush administration's program, which is to support the UN-led so-called peacekeeping efforts in Somalia. And what is important here is that if we look at what is happening there in Somalia, the only real functioning government in all of Somalia is in Somaliland, which is that northwestern, you know, the Horn of Africa there, Somalia, looks kind of like a boomerang there. And the top part of it there, Somaliland, is the real only section of the country where you have a functioning government, a democratically elected government, which is and it's the only part of the country where they have any peace and order and stability and prosperity going on. They were the only part of the country that was excluded from this so-called Djibouti peace process, which our State Department and the Obama administration and before it the Bush administration have been supporting. And so now what we have, and most Americans haven't been following all of this, so I'll just run through it real quickly. They had this UN summit here, just a donors conference recently in Djibouti, and the U.S. government went along with the European Union and the United Nations in calling for $250 million as a bonus for the so-called Somali government that's operating in southern Somalia now, where it's total chaos. There is no real government there. They have no transitional government, as they call it, under Sharif Sheikh Ahmed. And this is part of the, this is really the governing structure that has been put in place by the UN and with our U.S. money. So they've locked out any of the real governing reform there. And as I said in my piece, this is very reminiscent of, and I hope it does not turn into a repeat of the UN Congo solution in 1961, where you're very well aware of, Stan, the UN government or the UN troops went in with U.S. support, U.S. military support, and diplomatic support, and overthrew the only functioning government in the Congo at that time, where there was real peace and prosperity and genuine governance going on, and that was in the province of Katanga. And that was because they were largely a Christian governing black community there, and they didn't want any part of the communist and socialist revolution that was going on in the rest of the Congo. The UN supported the communist chaos that was going on there, and the people of Katanga were slaughtered and subjected to the communist rule. And I think that what we are seeing happen in Somalia right now is that Somaliland, where again it's very much like Katanga, is in danger of being thrown down, and we will see the kind of corrupt UN regime installed there that they've already last week showered with, they claim, $250 million. That's going to come from largely from you and me and the rest of the Americans.
Well, it's a tragic, tragic situation, and the average American has no idea the part that we're playing, creating chaos throughout the rest of the world. People like to think, oh, my goodness, we're there to help. Now, you ask the people of Zimbabwe today about the help they've got from America, and they've helped keep the tyrannical government in power and, of course, destroy that once first world nation. So, and this is, I mean, when we have a troop station in 130 or 140 nations throughout the world, what are American troops doing stationed in 130, 140 nations? Why are troops still stationed in Japan 65 years after the war ended, and Germany 65 years after the war ended, and in Korea 55 years after the Korean War ended? Why are our troops still there? We are occupying those countries.
It certainly isn't to protect America. It is draining us. It is draining us economically. It is causing us to be dreaded and hated around the world. It is not buying us friendship or bringing other countries to better relations with us. It's completely antithetical to the American ethos and to our Constitution. We've allowed ourselves to be dragooned into this over the last 50, 60 years by the internationalists, the globalists from Council on Foreign Relations, who've dominated our foreign policy from at least FDR onward, as you know, even before that, but primarily really dominated from the time of FDR onward, where we've had this internationalist interventionist program running full blast to get America involved in, our government involved in, every aspect of every part of the globe, economically, militarily, politically. And that is not good for the rest of the world. It's not good for us. It is not good for peace in the world. And it is bankrupting us. It has bankrupted us. And enough is enough. We simply can't afford it. And it's wrong and immoral for us to be doing that.
But of course, the reason for it is that America has an empire, and they cannot let the American people know that we are financing an empire as a stepping stone into this one world dictatorship, which our leaders, our ruling oligarchy, want to establish throughout the rest of the world. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Well, I agree completely, and many Americans find this difficult to believe or understand because they think, well, hey, we're Americans. We don't want an empire. We don't want to rule the world. No, you and I as citizens do not. We want to, the whole American ethos is to, hey, leave us alone and let us run our own lives. And that's really what most people want everywhere in the world. They've never had an opportunity and really a tradition to be able to enjoy that. But we as Americans don't want to rule the world. However, there are people who have usurped the control of government in America, in the financial and military and political top levels, who do want to have a global imperium, a global empire. They are one-worlders, globalists. They want the United States to be simply a cog in the wheel of world government. How to do that? The United States has been too strong and independent and productive and prosperous. Well, they have to bleed away all of our economic wealth and resources. And they've done that by getting us involved in wars all over the world, stationing expensive, costly bases and installations in every country of the world. And we're paying for all of that, and we're paying for it in many different ways, but of course, economically, we're paying for it. And so now, after decades of that, we have come to the point where our productivity has taken a dive, and we no longer produce and manufacture anything here in our own country. We have squandered our inheritance, and it isn't beyond redemption. It can be reversed, but each day that we allow this to go on and for this imperium to expand, we are that much closer to losing forever that legacy that's been handed on to us.
Well, I think it's so important that our listeners understand there's been an organized effort to encourage American corporations to move their base of operations and their factories overseas. And one reason when we've done that is to, if you are an American corporation and you move your factory overseas, you don't have to pay any taxes on the profits that you made from your overseas operation. In other words, you can accumulate, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars overseas, and you'll never pay taxes on it. The other thing is, of course, since there are no tariffs to bring their products into this country, why wouldn't you go overseas where you can get cheap labor? You don't have to have...
Well, especially when you also provide disincentives here,
right,
by regulating and taxing and creating laws which encourage lawsuits and legacy union costs and government mandates, it becomes so costly to do business here. And then the government says, well, if you move over to not just to any country, but they've given the best incentives, the best benefits to our sworn enemies, principally China, to encourage our most productive companies to move all of their operations, take all of their jobs, and all of the critical manufacturing and production that they do, take it over to China and to build China into a world power from being one of the most backward completely third world countries into a first world power in virtually one generation.
Yes.
That wasn't done because China went capitalist. This has been accomplished thus far because our government has gone more socialist and has pushed more and more of our businesses overseas. And at the same time, many of these top American corporations have become run by globalists from the Council on Foreign Relations. More and more of them have moved towards the World Economic Forum Davos man mentality of, we are the elites, we are all going to run the world together. And so they have these summits at Davos every year in Switzerland, the World Economic Forum, where all the communist leaders from China and Russia and all the big corporate one-worlders from Europe, the United States, and Japan get together and all celebrate their global elite structures that they're building. And the rest of us, in their worldview, are going to be reduced to third-world serfs. And eventually, they think in their final global oyster, they will be able to run things without any of the hindrances now provided by national governments, constitutional restrictions, parliamentary restrictions.
Well, I really think they're moving rapidly towards a world feudalistic system. This is what Professor Quigley said on page 324 of his book, The Tragedy and Hope, how the central bankers are working to bring about a world feudalistic system. But we can't let the common people know that, and they say, well, that's absurd. And yet, of course, everything's being done to impoverish our people, to destroy the value of our currency. Destroy the value of our currency, you impoverish our people, and they'll be looking to government, to our new feudal lords, of course, for food and for stability. And, of course, people will gladly give up their freedom for security, and that's what they're going to have, but much, much, much lower level of living than we've ever had before. And I really think that this is part of a long-range plan to destabilize our country and, in fact, to destabilize the entire world. In fact, Henry Kissinger has said the countries of the world will have two choices, either to join this new economic order or chaos. And I think if you haven't read his January 12th, 2009 article in the International Herald Tribune, Henry Kissinger's article entitled A Chance for a New World Order, you need to read it. And if you can't get it, you get something from Radio Liberty. We'll be glad to send you a copy. You need to know what the plan is. And I think Henry Kissinger laid it all out very, very clearly. Don't you, Bill?
Oh, yeah. We did an article on that. It's online on Henry Kissinger's New World Order essay that you just referred to. And so if you go to thenewamerican.com and put in Kissinger, that's there are several of those. Just since December, in November, December, January, he he's one of the main ones that had several articles and speeches, and his appearance at the New York Stock Exchange with the Chinese leaders, all repeating again and again his New World Order theme. And of course, this is something that you've been talking about for decades, and whenever we mention this, the New World Order, you will always have the sneers and the rolling of eyes by the talking heads of the establishment media. But now, of course, in the last few months with Henry Kissinger coming out very much for this, Gideon Rockman in the International Herald Tribune, and of course we had Gordon Brown, a British Prime Minister, announcing this at the conclusion of the G20 summit in London, that this is going to take us into the New World Order. And of course, that is what precisely the architects of the International Monetary Fund were hoping to do back when the IMF and the World Bank were created at the Bretton Woods Conference in 1944.
Well, before we go on, we're almost to the end of the hour. I want you to get out your web page, how people can get in touch with the New American, and it's really the best magazine we have available.
That's www.thenewamerican.com. And that's three words, thenewamerican.com. And people haven't visited in a while. We're getting now up several new exclusive articles every day. Many of these do not appear, most of them do not appear in our regular print magazine, which, of course, we highly recommend as well. But we're keeping it updated with brand new material every day.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Jasper. Well, Bill, the hour flies by. We've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, as you said right at the very start, things are...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-.
Thanks very much. It's always a pleasure to have you. It's been too long. Bye-bye.
Likewise.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, that's Bill Jasper. Hope you enjoy our conversation. Bill's been a friend for a long time, and certainly one of the most articulate spokesmen we have, certainly in the conservative movement. We've got to get him on more frequently. So this is the time I need to remind our listeners, Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. I know a lot of people are hurting now, and some of our people already have had to discontinue support simply because they're out of their jobs, probably close to the real unemployment rate in America, not the phony one you get, but the real one. The U2 rate is about, according to John Williams, is almost 19%. People who either given up looking for work, taken jobs that much lower pay, or are simply out of work. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, that behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces intent upon bringing about this one world government and the destruction of Christianity. That's why they took God out of the schools. That's why they've taken God out of our courts, and you no longer swear, so help me God, when you're giving testimony. You just swear. Who are you swearing to? The state, I guess. But anyway, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talk, The Forbidden Secret, and you need to watch that. It's a DVD, and there's a syllabus that goes with that. You need to get the trilogy, the Secret Mystery of America's Beginnings trilogy. There's three DVDs in that, and you can get them all together for a suggested gift of $59.95, or get them separately. But get them and watch them and learn, and then be able to express to others, especially the information on the occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill. And when you can discuss those and you can show the people all of the various occult emblems there, this didn't happen by accident. They knew exactly what they were doing. They hide their emblems in plain sight, and then they laugh at us because we're so gullible. We have a great new DVD, it's called, or I should say a new a 4-CD set. It's called Deadly Assassins. That's Deadly Assassins. Of course, we have a great DVD by Dr. Russell Blaylock, Vaccines and Brain Development. They're poisoning our children. You need, of course, to get the DVDs on vaccines from Dr. Blaylock. You need to get our new 4-CD set, a vaccine update 2009. You need to get Sydney the book written by Neil Miller, very short, very concise. Vaccines, are they safe and effective? And the answer is no, they're not safe, and in most instances, not really effective. Certainly we've cut back on some diseases and created other terrible diseases. And certainly almost the whole population got a cancer virus. Why is cancer climbing so much? Because they had a cancer virus in the polio vaccine they gave to the American people. Well, people say it was just an accident. Well, then why did they continue giving it when they knew the cancer virus was there? And they say, well, but that doesn't prove anything. Just because we have all these cancers with the virus, that doesn't mean the cancer caused the virus. Well, it causes it in animals. Why wouldn't it cause it in human beings? It's a cover-up, ladies and gentlemen. And you can read a book put out by the National Institute of Health called The Health Century by Edward Shorter. The Health Century by Edward Shorter. We don't carry the book, but you can get it on the Internet. And you'll find out that they've intentionally lied to the American people all these years. In fact, they used to make jokes about, they tried this vaccine on the Russians, and they said, oh, well, we don't have to worry about the Russians in the Olympics anymore, because, of course, they're all going to have such big tumors. Ha, ha, ha. That was it. I mean, this is the most amazing story put out by the National Institute of Health and then suppressed by the National Institute of Health. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, go there. You can listen to our programs on the Internet. Well, you can listen 9 hours a day to our satellite feed, and you won't get anything accomplished, but you'll sure learn a lot. And encourage others to go there, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Robert Klink. And Bob is a practicing orthopedic surgeon. I was an orthopedic surgeon. I've been at it for many years. Bob is still there doing all sorts of major reconstructive procedures. But this next hour, we're going to be talking about the church growth movement, the purpose-driven church, as it will, about Pastor Rick Warren. I don't like to talk about ministers, but Rick Warren has been named by Time Magazine as one of the 15 most important men in the world. Time Magazine, which hates Christianity and is part of this complex of organized evil that's out there, including all of our major news magazines, they all tie into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. Time Magazine has named Rick Warren America's minister. He is the man who has replaced Billy Graham. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He has a program to transform Christianity. He wants, of course, to bring all the drums and the other things into our churches, and of course, to have rock concerts, basically replace the great hymns of the past with rock music. He is certainly one of the most successful ministers of modern times. He's trained hundreds of thousands of ministers throughout our country and the people in churches throughout this country, and transformed the modern-day Christian church. And then we wonder why America is changing so. And of course, Rick Warren believes there's no such thing as Christian music. There's only Christian lyrics. So if you have lyrics to a rock song, that's perfectly all right. But of course, as we look and see what's happening to America today, is this nation really honoring God in any way? Well, certainly, Bob has done a great deal of work on this, and I'm just going to let him pick up and tell the story. Bob Klink, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again.
Well, will you pick up the story? And lots of things are happening. Time Magazine just named Rick Warren one of the 15 most important men in the world.
Right. Yeah, and they're not the only ones. Newsweek. Let me see. I'm looking at these magazines here. I got him on the cover of Newsweek magazine in July of 06. 15 winners who use fame, fortune, and heart and soul to help others. And on the cover, they've got Rick Warren, Benita Singh, Ruth DeGolia, Ruby Jones, Brad Pitt, and Soledad O'Brien. They've got America's Best Leaders on U.S. News and World Report in October of 05, along with Oprah Winfrey and Colin Powell, Antonio Villaraigosa, Bill Gates, and Rick Warren in that group as well. So they're, you know, it's not limited to Time Magazine. And, you know, all the major media outlets were very aware of the fact that...
Bob, I'm gonna have to, could you speak just a little bit louder? I'm having a little trouble with my board here.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
I'm happy to do that. So the mainstream media, which, as you have well pointed out, is no friend of fundamental Christianity, loves Rick Warren. And Larry King loves having him on his programs as well. And, we just see him pretty much everywhere. You know, he was very influential in the last presidential election. As you know, before the election, he did speak before the Council on Foreign Relations.
Hold that back. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, Bob, you were just saying that before the last election, he was very influential. Go right ahead.
Yes, and then, of course, he had the candidates forum at Saddleback Church, where he had both now President Obama and then presidential candidate John McCain both speak there at his church, giving them equal ground and equal opportunity to speak. And at that event, he said that he would have no gotcha questions, no, you know, he was not going to pin anybody down on their profession of faith or their convictions as far as, you know, what evangelical Christians believe. And to me, that was sort of a seal of approval, that if he could promote both of those candidates, and he said at the time that both of those candidates were good friends of his. So basically, he buttered his bread on both sides so that he would have access to the White House regardless of which of these candidates got into power. And he also, again, gave a seal of approval to either candidate such that anybody attending his church could vote for either candidate regardless of their stand on abortion, regardless of their stand on gay marriage, etc. And they could feel accepted in that church, regardless of what their vote was.
And how could possibly any Christian minister support a candidate that advocated abortion, the murder of unborn children? In fact, since, of course, the proposition here in California recently, Prop 8, which, of course, apparently Rick Warren did give at least tacit support to, now he sort of denounced his own support of that Proposition 8. I mean, where does he really stand on moral issues? But you go right ahead, Bob.
Right, and he really doesn't take a firm stand on any of the moral issues. He sees his ministry as one of a social issue and a social ministry, such that such that taking a firm stand is going to cause you to have enemies, or going to cause people to come at odds with each other. And so as a result of that, then he's trying to broaden his approval or broaden his power base, because he sees greater things happening. He sees his ministry doing greater things. In other words, solving the world's issues, solving the world's problems by compromising his faith.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Clank was just pointing out that Rick Warren won't take a real straightforward stand on abortion when he had Barack Obama and John McCain at his church. He didn't ask them about abortion. He didn't ask them about the really important issues as far as, certainly as far as traditional family values or belief in gay marriage and things like that. So by telling his congregation, and he has 50,000 people in his congregation, by telling his congregation they were both good people, you know, that he basically gave tacit approval to Barack Obama, the most radical leftist, certainly most radical foe of abortion, of human life that we've ever had in the United States Senate, who has even advocated killing children after they've been successfully born, and certainly instead of putting them in the nursery, simply allowing them to die. I mean, certainly even Nancy Pelosi and some of our radical, you know, U.S. senators like Feinstein and certainly Barbara Boxer could not go along with the things that the Barack Obama supported, and yet, of course, Rick Warren seemed to go right along with that and was not going to take a stand against this extremism that extreme positions that Barack Obama took. So pick up the story there.
Right. Yes, that's absolutely true. And by giving this tacit approval to these people, he is again compromising his faith, and he's also encouraging his congregation to compromise their faith. He's doing it all through the dialectic process, which that's what Dean Gocher speaks of so well, and which is actually Dean Gocher's work is what led me to start investigating Rick Warren's work, because I was in a church where I was being manipulated, and I didn't understand why. And once I heard Dean Gocher, and he spoke about the dialectic process, how they use that process to move people away from their original position of faith, then I was able to make the connection with Rick Warren and what he's doing and what his global agenda is and how he implements it. So what you do in order to get people to compromise their faith is you've got Christians who are in a church, and then you start saying, well, you know, we've got to have a broader appeal. We're, you know, there's too few of us, and we need a bigger army. We need to be able to do more things, so we need to bring in some unbelievers. We need to bring them into the church. We need to meet their felt needs. We need to, as you said, give them music that they like listening to. If they like rock and roll music, we can jazz the music up and try to improve that. And appeal to them, make this a place where they feel comfortable, make the unbelievers not be intimidated by church, but make it a place that's comfortable. And so these are people who are living in the flesh because they're unbelievers, and Rick Warren's whole process is to satisfy the flesh, and then when they come in and supposedly are discipling the people, what they do is they use the dialectic. They have a facilitator rather than a teacher. And they don't teach the Word of God as absolute, but they allow everybody's ideas to be filtered in. And when one person has a view that God is strong and he's a harsh judge, and another person thinks that he's much more soft and much more loving than that, then the whole group agrees that the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, in between those two extremes. And the best way for us to get along and have good human relationships is to agree to disagree and to agree that the truth is somewhat ambiguous, and that's the way the truth of the scripture gets destroyed. But now we can all get along because we need everybody to get along because we've got other bigger issues to tackle, rather than what Rick Warren would consider a lesser issue would be the issue of actually staying true to the scripture. His bigger issue is he wants to cure AIDS in Rwanda, and he wants to make sure that there's no war in the Middle East. So if we can get Israel to compromise their land and give up some of that to the to the Muslims, and that if everybody is reasonable, that we can make peace on earth and goodwill towards men, and we can have heaven on earth. It's basically liberation type theology is what it really boils down to, and that's really what Rick Warren is doing through his Council on Foreign Relations, through his willingness to extend his hand out to the pro-abortion Democrats and pro-death Democrats. I mean, and Barack, his very first action in office was to fund foreign abortion, to actually pay for funding to commit genocide on the newborn in other countries with our tax dollars. That was his first official act. So we do know exactly what kind of a bloodthirsty killer he truly is. And Rick Warren's quite close friends with him.
And, of course, Rick Warren was invited to give the prayer at the inauguration. I think that was very interesting that he would be asked. And then, of course, didn't they have somebody else to give another prayer there? Because Philip wasn't even a Christian.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah, that is all absolutely true. And even one of these other articles, I'll get to it in a moment when I pull it back up on my computer here. But he was talking about how there are so many millions of Muslims in the world and so many, here it is right here. He talks about the president's Muslim outreach offensive in Turkey this week, and he says he thinks that this is the right tone. He says that there's 600,000 Buddhists in the world, there are 800,000 Hindus in the world, there are 1 billion Muslims in the world, there are 2.3 billion Christians in the world. You have to get along together. That's why I speak with Jewish groups, that's why I speak to Muslim groups. So this is what he recently told Larry King, is that we have to get along with these people. But that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says that he didn't come to unite everybody. He actually came to divide with the sword, and that he was even going to divide people within their own families over their faith. And, he didn't come to send peace on the world, but a sword. And so, you know, obviously we as Christians aren't advocating war and you know, and killing anybody that doesn't believe the same way that we do. That's certainly not what the Lord is talking about. But he's talking about that there will be divisions, that we will have to separate our human relationships from other groups because, again, the Bible teaches us that unless we, one and two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. In other words, we cannot work hand in hand on these social issues and set our faith aside in order to do that. That is putting Christ secondary to an earthly pursuit, which obviously all earthly pursuits are to be secondary to Christ.
Well, you know, there's an increasing effort today to convince Christians that we all worship the same God. Suddenly, all the Christian sects do. There's no division between the Catholic and the Protestant as far as the very nature and divinity of God. But there certainly is a great deal of difference between the Christian faith and the Mohammedan faith and the Jewish faith and the Hindu faith and the Buddhist faith. We do not all worship the same God. And this, I think the Christians and the Jews worship the same God, but the others do not. And this idea that we all worship the same God is a trap. And, of course, the other people are not going to give up their beliefs. What they're trying to do is get the Christians to compromise their beliefs.
Right, absolutely. Because, and that's the whole key, again, in the dialectic process, is to avoid anything that divides. You want to unite everything. And the only way you can unite anything is to compromise it. So let's say you're mixing black paint and white paint together. Well, you know, you first mix in a little tiny bit of black paint into the white paint. You don't notice it. But then as you use that process over and over and you gradually move people from their original position of faith, eventually there's enough black paint mixed into the white paint that the color changes. and all of a sudden you're no longer what you started out as. And so, and that's the whole idea of compromise. If we can just get the Christian to compromise a little bit, well, that's all Satan is asking any of us to do in our life. He's just asking us to compromise just a little bit. Just take a little bite of the fruit. You know, that's all I'm asking. I don't want you to even take the whole fruit. Just take a bite. And that's, as soon as you fall into that, you're doing exactly what Satan wants you to do. And this process truly is a satanic process. It truly, number one, originates with Satan. Number two, it accomplishes his goal on the earth, which his goal on the earth is the reign of the Antichrist. The reign of the Antichrist happens when he comes promising to solve all of the world's problems. When everything is in a shambles in the world, Antichrist comes onto the scene, and he gets masses and masses of people to follow him, believing that he's actually come with an agenda for good, and that he's actually in favor of mankind. Well, of course, Satan's goal always is to destroy mankind, to destroy their eternal souls, and to destroy them spiritually, even though he'll come promising prosperity in the earthly realm.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Robert Klink right here at Radio Liberty. Bob, go right ahead.
Yes. So, you know, kind of back to...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
And been feeding this radical form of Islam, and a lot of the times the people didn't want to be involved in this, but they were manipulated into it by government informants, and then suddenly they're beginning to go right along with this whole idea of violence, ideas that they never would have had otherwise. Now, there really are people who embrace the radical form of Islam throughout the world, but people have forgotten that a lot of this was financed by the Central Intelligence Agency during the Afghan War, and we financed both the Taliban and Al-Qaeda after that, but we can't let the American people know that, or the fact that certainly these radical forms of Islam are being funded by the Pakistani that are being funded by the United States, and by the Saudis who are being funded by the United States and kept in power by the United States. And there really is a growing radical Islamic movement throughout the world, in large part because of resentment by America going over there and torturing their brethren, even many times innocent people who were intentionally tortured when they knew they were innocent, or if they'd already given up their information, and they were still tortured after giving up the information. Do you know a better way to recruit people into a radical form of belief? Happen if that were to happen in America, and Americans are being tortured here by our occupiers who are completely innocent, of course there'd be resistance. And this seems to be what some people in our government seem intent upon doing. But I agree with you, Bob. The basic thesis that we all worship the same God is totally fallacious. That doesn't mean we can't live in peace with the Muslims. There are those that like to live in peace with us. But not when their radical element is being financed by our Central Intelligence Agency and the Saudi billionaires. So go right ahead with the story.
Right, yes, that's boy, absolutely true and wonderful amount of information there. So in seeing this manipulation in the churches, once again, I could see that the United Nations global agenda was being put into place. And I knew fairly early on that Rick Warren had to somehow be tied to that. He had to somehow be financed by that because, because the United Nations agenda, once again, is world peace. It's basically the global peace plan that Rick Warren puts out there is basically the same plan as the United Nations. Nation's agenda, you know, when it is talking about poverty, and that's basically global socialism, and that's what the Antichrist portends to promise is abundance for everybody. Well, there isn't going to be abundance for everybody. Jesus himself said, "The poor you will always have with you." So, you know, you're denying the very scripture if you're saying we're going to solve poverty, we're going to solve world hunger, we're going to educate. That's the E portion of the peace plan is education. Well, what is the education? The education is, once again, the socialist dialectic system. I mean, and it's full speed here in the United States. People don't want to believe it, but our education system is completely different than when I was a student. Basically, what happens now is there are group grades for projects throughout all of your education at all levels, and the group grades, basically, you are being evaluated on how well you get along with others. That's all it's about. That's the agenda, not the agenda of actually acquiring knowledge. And similarly, the education agenda actually dumbs down people, because they take the smart students and rather than move them into accelerated classes and let them excel to what they're, how well they were gifted by God, they actually are now turned into student teachers, and they help the teachers out now with the slower students. So rather than advancing, once they've accomplished all of their tasks, they're now stagnated in that, at that level, because now they're used as a student teacher or mentor to help the slower students to come up to the same level where they are. So they're not allowed to really truly excel and reach their full potential.
And then we wonder why our students, when they graduate from high school, can't compete with the excellent students from other countries. It's simply because they've been held back and dumbed down in our own schools. And that didn't happen by accident. I believe that the people in education know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to learn. Dr. Stan back here. Our guest, of course, is Bob Flink. And go right ahead, Bob.
Certainly. So I was on the issue of education, which is the last point of the peace plan, the last E there. And one has to ask themselves, wait a minute. A pastor. Isn't the pastor's job to equip people with the scriptures? Isn't he supposed to be spending his time going through the scriptures, reading the scriptures?
Hold that thought there for just a moment, and we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dr. Robert Clank, and he is simply talking about the peace plan, the Rick Warren's peace plan, and Chris is talking about the education segment of that, but Bob is talking really about, oh, isn't it the job of the preacher to be teaching people the Holy Scriptures and the meaning of the Scriptures and an endeavor to draw them into a personal relationship with the Lord? So pick the story up there.
Right. So one has to start asking themselves, why are you concerned with education? Why is it? Well, because he wants to get people educated in the dialectic process. Now, the first portion of the peace plan is promoting reconciliation. And that sounds good, especially when he talks about reconciliation with God. But this is what he says. He says, when a man is reconciled to his fellow man, there is harmony. When a man is reconciled to his environment, there is prosperity. When a man is reconciled to God, there is authentic peace. So, number one, he puts God third on the list. First, he wants to reconcile man to his fellow man. Secondly, he wants to reconcile man to the environment. And then, reconciling to God. And of course, now, as we know, since he's been compromising God, and he's allowing, he's not really convicting anybody to come to the Christ of the Bible, but rather in his book, Purpose Driven Life, all he said was, all you have to do is believe in God and receive. So there's no repentance, there's no sin, in the gospel, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that we are depraved. All of us, each and every one of us is depraved. We all have a sinful nature. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Our heart's desperately wicked. We can't even know the depth of our own depravity. And so the good news is that there is no reconciliation between man and God without the shedding of blood. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And the sacrificial system in the Jewish days was only temporary and only a covering until the true sacrifice, the one single sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, which is the good news, because that sacrifice is the only way by which our sin can be remitted, that we can be forgiven of our sins, and that we can then enter into fellowship with Christ. So that is not what Rick Warren teaches. He says, believe in God and receive. So all you have to do is say, God, I believe you exist, and I receive you. And Rick Warren says, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations, you've entered into the kingdom of God. You're now considered a brother. So as long as you believe in a God, and as long as you receive that God, you're okay. So he considers that the reconciliation between God and man, and he has placed in a very high level of importance reconciliation between man and fellow man. And once again, there is biblical separation. There's biblical separation in the churches where unbelievers aren't supposed to be in the churches. There is biblical separation when we are walking with a fellow brother in Christ, and then that person is continuing in sinful behavior and is not repentant, yet he calls himself a brother. We actually separate ourselves from that person. We don't eat with that person. We break fellowship only with the goal not to condemn them to hell, but with the goal that separation will be painful for them, and that will hopefully draw them back into reconciliation with Christ and back into fellowship with us. So we do that biblically. The Bible commands it, and it also commands people that if in Matthew 18, where if somebody has wronged us and they refuse to repent, and we take two or three witnesses and they still refuse to repent, everything, we break fellowship with people. So Rick Warren's message is that we need to get along with each and every person, if at all possible, so that we can all get together and solve this problem of the environment, so we can get together and solve the problem of poverty, so that we can be educated in the same educational system, so that we have the same dialectic chip, if you will, implanted in our brains that teaches us how to resolve issues, which is all by compromise, and then we're going to do great things. So this is, and again, you look at this whole program and you just have to, the true Christian has to step back and take a step back and say, what is the role of the pastor to be, and why this guy has no business doing this? Why is he doing it? Who's funding it? Well, once again, I knew it had to be tied to the United Nations, and clearly when Warren addressed the Council on Foreign Relations, and now it's in the open that he's a member of that organization, now we know who's funding it. Now we know what the agenda is. Oh, Rupert Murdoch pushed all of his books, gave him the best marketing campaigns ever, made him a multimillionaire. Well, there you go. I mean, again, you just have to look, take a step back from that and say, is all of this consistent with biblical Christianity?
Well, I think people have to understand that Rupert Murdoch is certainly part of this whole move towards world government. Certainly when he was a boy, when he was known in school in Australia there as Rupert the Red. He always kept a bust of Lenin on his desk, and it said that he still has that bust of Lenin. But certainly Rupert Murdoch is certainly an unscrupulous man who, of course, has published the books by Rick Warren, and there's 50 million copies out there, has popularized him. Certainly there's an invisible force behind Rick Warren. I think this is the important thing for people to understand. And this is not a Christian force at all. I believe it is an internationalist force moving us towards this one world government idea and these concepts. But go right ahead.
Right. And the Antichrist, as we know, from our reading of the book of Revelation, not only is he a one-world government leader, but he's also a one-world religious movement leader as well. So he somehow has to not only reconcile the nations of the world together under this common cause, but then he also has got to reconcile all of the religious factions together in this common cause as well. And this is what we see the dialectic process doing. We see the dialectic process in our workplace, that you have to go along with the flow of the total quality management if you want to keep your job. You have to go into those meetings. You have to help them. You have to have a facilitator. You have to be observed by the facilitators. They have process observers that are observing the process and observing your reaction to it, and then they're going to give you remedial action if you're not going with the flow properly. So we see it in the educational system. We see it in the political system. We saw that back in when they had the supposed Republican Revolution with Newt Gingrich, with their contract with America. They all came into office saying, we're going to shake things up. We're going to make major changes. We took them all to the Aspen Institute, which is a dialectic learning think tank. It came out of the Aspen Institute learning that, well, you're not going to get anywhere if you think you're right and other people are wrong. You're going to have to compromise, and if you compromise, then they're going to give you a little bit, and then when they compromise, you'll get a little bit from them. So it came back, and when the people voted for this Republican Revolution and nothing happened, then everybody started scratching their head. Well, what happened with the contract on America? Nothing happened. And so then they got frustrated. Now I think we've seen a backlash, and now everything's turning democratic, which is even more socialistic than the Republican plans were. And, in the meantime, basically, and this is what I'd like to use as an analogy, I think that the Republicans and the Democrats are as two different football teams in two different colored uniforms, but they're all running the same way on the field, and one's a little bit faster than the other one.
I think that's a pretty good analogy. Certainly the contract with America was coordinated by Newt Gingrich, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, an internationalist to his very heart, an environmentalist to his very heart, a liberal to his very heart. But somebody has to lead the Republicans. Somebody has to lead the conservatives and convince them. of course, that they're going to have to just keep compromising and compromising and compromising and never stand on principle. I think that it's very important that our listeners understand that the motivation behind this church, this whole church growth movement, the purpose-driven church, really comes from a man named Peter Drucker. And his ideas were incorporated into our government, they were incorporated into our corporations, and then they were incorporated into our religious organizations, which is why the church is not effective today. Would you like to talk a little bit about Peter Drucker, who he was, and why his influence is so very important in Christianity today?
Yes. Peter Drucker, basically, although he wasn't a true member of the Frankfurt School, he grew up in Vienna, Austria, and along with the members from the Frankfurt School, his parents were very politically connected in Vienna, and they used to have a lot of the political leaders in those days would come to their house and speak, and he was very influenced by them. And then he attended the Frankfurt School, and where this is where the dialectic process actually was being formulated by the transformational Marxists, by people like Kurt Lewin, and they were in Germany when Hitler came into power, and during that period of time, then they had to flee Germany because there's two different types of Marxists. There's traditional Marxists and there's transformational Marxists. Traditional Marxists basically point a gun at your head and say, "Go my way or you get shot." Well, that's bloody and it's not very nice. And so the transformational Marxists were the kinder and gentler type of Marxism. And they say basically that In order to get you to go our way, we're going to put you in a room with a bunch of other people, and we're going to use the extremely powerful force of peer pressure. And the peer pressure is going to be so strong that you will want to go that way because that's part of the way that we're wired as human beings. We want the affirmation of people. We speak and crave admiration. We crave a pat on the back or a handshake we really crave that, and it's an extremely strong driving force in all of our lives, unfortunately. Too much so. And so that's what they did. This is what they studied. The transformational Marxists were then studying how to get people to go along with a particular program and a plan without bloodshed and without the obvious residue of that. I mean, you know, when you had the French Revolution and there's guillotines, obviously the extremely major change in political view is taking place, and if you don't go along with it, you lose your head. Traditional Marxists who use guns hate transformational Marxists. And so when Hitler came into power, the transformational Marxists fled the country and came to the United States. And they brought these ideas to the United States. This is what has been incorporated into the educational system. They formulated the national training laboratories in the United States. And this is what Drucker was extremely, extremely involved with. And so he was involved in the business realm, again, with total quality management and those techniques in the workplace, supposedly to make better products. But the reality is the product that they're really trying to get is a worker with the proper mindset, a worker who compromises truth, who is willing to get along and go along. That's much more important than the actual widget that comes out of the assembly line. So Drucker perfected these techniques in the business realm, and then he was one of the three major people who formulated Rick Warren's church. And so the people that helped Rick Warren to found his church were Peter Drucker, a business expert in how to market, a business expert in how to make something popular by giving people what they want or what they think they want, and then using the dialectic to move them to where you want to move them. And also Tom Patterson from the Leadership Network, which is another think tank with the same type of philosophy, and Robert Schuller, who, again, was an extremely strong compromiser of the Christian faith and another expert at bringing in the masses by giving them what they wanted to hear. So these are the foundations of Rick Warren's church. And again, it wasn't founded on Christ. Christ did not start this church. This wasn't Rick Warren coming out of seminary and then going to his Bible and finding out what God was saying to him and where God was leading him to. He chose his location based on demographic surveys of where the fastest and most affluent growing community was at the time, and that was Mission Viejo, California. So he said, great, I'm going there. There's a lot of money, there's no churches, and it's growing fast. This is going to be a great place for me to set up. Completely not led by the Holy Spirit, only led by business, management, marketing, and the dialectic process, a way of manipulating people to then use their money, to take all of that money out of Mission Viejo and use that money and use that resources to then try to implement the United Nations global agenda starting there at Saddleback.
And basically, this is a corporate management technique. It's a psychological game that they play with people's minds. Would that be accurate?
Absolutely. 100% accurate.
It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has to do with conditioning process. Using, of course, you know, the idea of you know, trying to befriend people. If they will not be befriended, then get rid of them. Get the older people out of the church, the pillars of the church. Well, they're the ones who hold things up, keep us from progressing. Force the people who won't go along out of the church, embarrass them, demonize them, and then, of course, you can move ahead with a more gullible, molding their minds, but not in Christianity, but in this new religion, this new corporate management.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Not in men, but in the Word of God. Bob, thanks very much. It's been so good to spend the evening with you. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Dr. Stan. It's great to talk to you again. God bless you.
Good night. God bless you, too. Okay, fine. Well, I hope our listeners out there enjoyed our chance to get together with Bob Klink again. We haven't talked to him in some years, and yet he's certainly been on the front lines trying to wake people up to what's going on. No, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. If you'd like more information on what we're talking about, we do have a DVD called Diaprax. That's D-Y-A-P-R-A-X, a talk given by Bob Klink. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on the church growth movement. It really goes into the background of this entire movement. And then, of course, we have a couple of books by Rick Warren going into the background of this. The names escape me, but certainly all you have to do is call, and if you want to get the books or the four-tape set or the DVD, just tell them, and we'll get the books for you. But if you read the Purpose-Driven Church, unless you really understand New Age terminology, you will not understand what this is about. Of course, they use a false interpretation of the Holy Scripture called the Word by a man named Peterson, and of course, his whole retranslation of the Bible comes right out of the occult. Why is this being used then largely as the foundation of the Purpose-Driven Church? Well, I think we can only surmise that there are strong occult influences there, trying to take us away from the traditional interpretation of the Scriptures into this new world religion that is being created today. Not imaginary, but really very, very real. And, of course, I do hope then you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You'll get my talk on the forbidden secret or the secret knowledge, and understand that there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. And you better understand what this is about, because we're moving towards a climax in history in the very, very near future. We do hope that, of course, you'll want to get the DVDs of the Secret Mystery series. There's three of them there, the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, and The Eye of the Phoenix. And if you haven't seen the last one of the trilogy, I think it's probably the best of them all. They're all excellent. But this one really gives you the background of the occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill and the occult foundation of the United States president who put that occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye, and his name was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a disciple of a man named Manly P. Hall. And we carry a number of Manly P. Hall's books. They're not in our regular catalog because we don't want anybody to say that we approve of them, but we carry his book, the most important book, I think, The Secret Destiny of America. We carry that. The Keys of Freemasonry, Lectures in Ancient Philosophy, and, of course, his greatest book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, where he tells you how they hide their emblems in plain sight because the common people can never recognize them. So again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. The DVD by Dr. Klink is called Diaprax, that's Diaprax, and then of course we have the four tape set on the church growth movement, and anyway, we do hope you want to look into this further, because Christianity is under attack today, and we have the books by Warren Smith and other books on these subjects. Certainly get a copy of our catalog, go to our website. If you'd like a catalog or one of our newsletters, give us a call. And then, of course, please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty.